Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy, and Taylor Dahl.
Welcome into a normal Tuesday edition to Helmets and Heels. It is still alumni week, as it is only Tuesday.
But it does feel so much more normal today to be with y'all on a Tuesday. I feel like there's zen now.
I know. I was wondering why the trash was so full, even though it was Monday. But I'm like, wait, why is our guy not here? And I'm like, wait, it's Monday. I'm so used to the trash being picked up. So out of it. It's like it was quarantine and last year, and I never knew what day it was. But today is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
All is right with the world.
Yes.
We are here.
Yes. And again, we are going to begin our talk with the NFL. However, we're going to talk with some Aaron Rodgers talk. And I'm excited because I want to get everyone's favorite Aaron Rodgers expert on this one, and that is Taylor Dahl, who loves to hate Aaron Rodgers, as she is a Chicago Bears fan. Go Bears, Bears, Bears.
I wish we had one of those, the Brady suck, but Rodgers, you suck.
Right? Well, the best thing about that is
opposite.
Brady talking about himself.
Yeah.
So that's what's so enjoyable
Rodgers
about that.
Rodgers would not say that about himself.
No, he would.
No, no. What do you think Rodgers would say about himself?
Opposite of that. I love you, Aaron.
I've told y'all that he doesn't like when people meet him and they say, you're shorter than I thought you were. So he probably tells himself, you are one tall drink of water there, Aaron. That's what I think he says to himself.
And gosh darn it, people like you.
I know. He like talks to himself in the mirror. That's his pep talks.
So we saw the article that Lauren sent about the six possible landing spots. But let's begin with, everything came down on day one of draft day, obviously, when Schefter decided that that's when the news should break. Not that any news actually broke that day, but that's when Schefter decided to break it. The conspiracies are flying, obviously, around Schefter, because nothing actually came out of either camp. But he decided that's when the news should break.
And everyone wanted to break news on draft
day. Everybody wanted news to break. So what was your first take when you heard, because we've heard that he's been unhappy. Everybody knows he's a very unhappy man anyways, regardless. But now that it's out there, now that it's officially out there, six landing spots, what's your first take and where do you think he should go, Taylor?
So originally my first thought was not surprised at all. Just because, like I said, we had heard there was a lot of rumors of him not being happy in Green Bay for a lot of reasons. And a lot of my Green Bay fan friends have said they were even surprised he's lasted this last 2 years. They thought he was going to be gone 2 years ago of just because of how bad things were really going. And 2 years ago, it kind of looked like he was declining a little bit too. It wasn't, but in the Aaron Rodgers realm of things, it looked like it. So a lot of Green Bay fans thought that would be the time that they were going to do that. And then they ended up getting Jordan Love last year. So then they're like, okay, well, it has to be now. But then Aaron Rodgers had one of the best seasons of his career last year. So obviously, you don't want to let him go after that. So I think a lot of them were just hoping that Green Bay were going to go just full on this offseason and like surround him with a bunch of things to make Aaron Rodgers happy. And they didn't. They have offered him, from what I've heard, they've offered him a pretty large contract extension and he said no. So to me, that is just more indication. When a guy says no to a lot of money, like that, and which is what you were kind of complaining about previously, now it's moved on to other things. Now the money's kind of on that back burner. Yeah, that's cool, but there's other issues now. And this is floating around in the air now. Now your GM, you've pretty much called him Jerry Krause, and to national media, and players around. Devontae Adams is not happy. Devontae Adams is kind of has Aaron Rodgers' back, saying, you know, like, if he's gone, I don't know, I might have to guess some things here in Green Bay. So it's just a disaster now, which is really weird to see in Green Bay, because for 30 years they've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and it's just been this steady machine of a powerhouse of the team. You'd get little rumors. There was Favre drama. Favre had a bunch of back and forth with Green Bay, and it's almost the same situation of he got so upset with the organization. The difference with Favre was he was like, well, I'm just going to retire, and then oh, I'll come back and play for the another NFC North team. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would do that. I don't think he'd ever go to another NFC North team. But I think that if Green Bay were willing to trade him, which could you imagine the haul they would get for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, it would be massive. And I don't think they will. I just don't see Green Bay doing it because I think right now they're at a stare down. And Green Bay, I like what Frank said on the Frangie show last week, is you're not bigger than the Green Bay organization. This team's been around since the 20s. It's one of the first teams in the NFL. You're not bigger than that. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. So that's kind of the bottom line for me, is I don't think he will be anywhere else. I would love him to be somewhere else. And the team that first, for like foremost, comes to my head is the Broncos. For a lot of reasons, I think that number one for me, get him out of the NFC. I don't want to have to see him all of the time. But also, I think Vic Fangio is a big part of that. Vic Fangio is the head coach for the Broncos, and he was the defensive coordinator for the Bears before he went there. So Vic Fangio knows Aaron Rodgers really well on the opposite side, obviously, but he knows what defenses are looking for when they come to play Aaron Rodgers. They know how to find the little weaknesses whenever you can, which is Aaron Rodgers gets flustered. When he gets flustered, that's when you can really make him not turn over the ball, but kind of not make the big plays that he can make. And I think Vic Fangio knows all of that. They have interesting weapons in Denver that I think that he could make even better with Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, Melvin Gordon around him, and then Noah Fant. So I don't know. I think that was my first instinct was Broncos, which on draft day when they didn't take a quarterback was a huge, whoa, they're going hard for Aaron Rodgers. And that's the team that I've really heard has pushed and made a lot of phone calls trying to get him. And I think a lot of that is because Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio saw what he did to the Bears defenses for a long time.
Lauren, do you see Aaron Rodgers in a Green Bay uniform come week one?
I don't think so. I think he's dug his feet in at this point in time. And if he's not going to accept a new contract, then what is he going to play for? And so as crazy as it would have seemed 6 months ago to even think like that, even though, yes, there were always kind of rumors that Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy in Green Bay. But once they got him a new head coach, I figured those would kind of go away. But so now I don't see why he would, if he's already told them, I don't want to play here. And even if firing the GM is not going to make him happy, then I don't see what's going to change. He's basically, I think he would retire if they don't agree to trade him. And then he may sit out a year, be the Jeopardy host, or go on about his business, and then decide to, you know, unretire, and they'll figure it out from there. So to me, so the six potential landing spots, Broncos that Taylor mentioned, the Panthers, the Saints, the Raiders, the Eagles, and... was that
Dolphins.
Six? And the Dolphins, thank you. Of those, to me, Carolina, because I don't have faith in Sam Darnold. And Carolina, obviously, is a team with a new head coach in Matt Rhule, the second-year head coach in Matt Rhule, who came from Baylor. I'm sure he wants his quarterback. And they didn't take a quarterback either on draft day. And so that really surprised me. I thought both the Panthers and the Broncos would, at least one of the two would take a quarterback. I just don't think Sam Darnold is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. So if I'm the Panthers, I would go all in. It doesn't matter what my future drafts are going to have to look like. I would try to get him. It's going to cost a haul. It's plus it's going to cost the salary contract. I mean, it's why I always go back to the Jaguars are in such a great position with having a rookie in Trevor Lawrence, who's 21. And you know, you're talking about a franchise quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, 37. I don't think he's going to play for seven more years like Tom Brady is doing. But Christian McCaffrey and certainly the defense that they're building in Carolina. If I'm Carolina, that's who I would go in for all in, because I don't know about the 2022 quarterback crop as much. Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler and guys like that. I don't know that that's who I'm going to mortgage my franchise on. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would want to go to the Saints of all those teams because they are pretty much always
loaded
in
around
the playoffs. Yeah, and they've got Sean Payton. What about you? If you were Aaron, where would you want to go?
If I was Aaron,
South Beach.
No. And I feel so bad that they keep putting Tua's name out there for this. It's always
well, he got Tua. Benched a couple times last season.
Yeah, but he's brand new, and so I don't know why he's not, you know, like Sam Darnold, where he keeps saying he's seeing ghosts. So I don't know why they keep putting Tua out there.
I think because he got benched and he was getting benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He wasn't getting benched for a really good quarterback, and so you draft him third overall, Tua, and then you end up or was it fifth overall, one of those, and then you end up sitting him on the bench after he didn't play well. So that's why his name's been circulating. And because they were connected to the Deshaun Watson. Yeah, they were connected to the Deshaun Watson stuff before Deshaun's allegations of sexual misconduct ever came out. You were hearing, the Texans might trade with the Dolphins.
Well, I would actually try to put my faith in the Raiders if I were Aaron Rodgers. To me, John Gruden and Derek Carr have never had that connection. Mm-hmm. You heard the rumors as soon as, you know, Carr and Gruden got together that Gruden wasn't happy with Carr.
Yeah, how can you be happy with Derek Carr?
Yeah, but you'd always heard that, and you always thought Carr was going to be traded. You always thought that was going to happen.
It's kind of every season you start hearing Derek Carr in the mix of being gone.
Correct. And so I always thought that was going to happen. We thought that Russell Wilson was going to end up there because that's where, you know, one of the choices were going to be was Las
Vegas. Taylor thought he was going to end up in Chicago.
Right.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Oh. Yes. Yes. But Las Vegas was one of the choices. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, obviously we look at the Matthew Stafford trade and it was two first rounders and a third rounder. And it's like, that's what you give up for Matthew Stafford. What in the world are you going to have to give up for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
For me, Las Vegas, I think Gruden would. He would move mountains to get somebody because he has the goal to do that.
Yeah.
And they have offensive pieces. Now, defensive-wise, they're kind of depleted and they don't really have much. But for me, Gruden would do anything to get his star QB.
Yeah. And I think that two things, because if you saw what the Bears actually did offer for Russell Wilson was huge. It was massive. So if the Bears were doing that for, which is a similar situation, it was Russell Wilson just not being happy with Seattle and Seattle not really wanting to trade, but teams were calling and Chicago was like, here, we're going to give you our entire life for the next 5 years. So I think a team would have to do something very similar to be able to get Aaron Rodgers. But number two, could you imagine if it was the Saints? Because Jameis Winston's in Tampa, Tom Brady comes, he gets booted, and then Aaron Rodgers comes to New Orleans, and they're like, okay, bye, Jameis. He'd be like, seriously?
I'm not sure that they'll even end up starting in New Orleans, though.
Yeah, I don't think they love. There's a lot of people who are convinced. A lot of Florida State fans are like, this is his year. And I'm like, you're like, he had eye surgery. And I'm like, okay, I think it's too late.
Maybe. You never know. It could be the eyes.
Don't knock those eye surgery people, okay?
Hey, man, when I had my LASIK surgery, but that was like 15 years ago, I saw a lot better when I drove. Now I need.
Were you a better quarterback?
I was never a QB. But I certainly parked better.
There you go.
When I needed to do that. Now, I definitely need my LASIK again to be able to park better again. But anyways, all right. So it is alumni week here. And what we're going to do is we're going to be joined next with a former heel and a brand new bride herself. That would be Amanda Borges DeVore next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. For you, baby, I'd
find you. For you, baby, I'd find you. For you, baby. It's a blast through the past. Alumni week on 1010XL.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. RJ Saunders making it all happen. Just a reminder, we do have a pair of tickets to give away to the Zac Brown Band concert coming up on October 8th. That would be a Friday at Daly's Place. You can win them before you can buy them, so keep listening this hour. That is a concert that one Amanda Borges DeVore would absolutely love to go to if she was in town. Right, Amanda?
I was just thinking, I was like, hey, I'll take those.
Unfortunately, I don't think, will be in the state when that concert happens.
I think so. But I am so excited that concerts are actually happening again. And it's an exciting thing. So actually, maybe I'll come make a trip down. Who knows?
Hey, come on down. I'm going to tell a story a little later about my experience in buying some Zac Brown Band tickets, which I did today. I got four of them, so if you're going to be here, you can use them.
Ooh.
All right, Amanda, dive right into it. Obviously, Amanda Borges DeVore then Gorgeous Borges used to be a member of Helmets and Heels. Tell us how the wedding went.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was one of those things where, so we got engaged during COVID. So when we started planning the wedding, we knew, you know, there's a chance that this won't happen. There's a chance that it will be completely different than what we would like it to be. And we were very blessed. Everything was amazing. It was definitely smaller than we originally planned, but it worked out. We had such a great time. The weather was great. We celebrated with close friends and family, and the most important part is we're officially married, and it was great. We had such a great time, and I can't believe it's over. For those who have planned a wedding, it's like you do all of this prep work, just like for any event or game that you cover. Like, you do all this prep work for it, and then it's just over. It's just done. All over. So we still, you know, talk about how crazy it is that it's over, but lots of amazing memories, and we're excited for this new chapter.
Amanda, first of all, every picture I saw was absolutely adorable, and your dog made the wedding, which I loved that because I love following your dog.
He was a surprise.
I love that. That's so
yes.
cute. That's been like a popular thing lately of having dogs be kind of like the flower boy, flower girl, and I think that's adorable. But I always laugh also because she, as Lauren introduced you, is Gorgeous Borges, and I was laughing when I first started doing my updates, Amanda, and was on the drill in the morning. So my nickname ended up becoming, they were just calling me Tater. That's what it ended up being. I was like, how did she get Gorgeous Borges and I got Tater? But it's okay. It's okay. You deserve it.
But it's a cute one. I like that.
I wanted to ask you, so just recently, a couple months ago, you had the 1 year since you started your podcast, which was in So She Goes, which you said you had about 40 plus episodes on it. Talk to some really, really powerful women. So what was one of your favorite that you got to do on that podcast?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you. I have actually kind of taken a break with the podcast, just with the wedding and a lot going on. But when I started the show, and I've even come on a couple times to talk to you ladies about this. When I started the show, I didn't really know who I'd be able to talk to, who would be willing to come on and talk to me. It was a brand new show, and I didn't have like a huge platform that maybe someone would be looking to join. And I have just been so blown away by the women that have been willing to come on and share their stories with me. I've had so many, and what I love is that a lot of them are so different. So I've had, you know, the big names that you love to watch on TV, like Laura Rutledge and Sage Steele, and a couple others that are in more niche markets, like Angel Gray, who covers the Cavs, and a few others. But then I've also had some women who work in the sports technology space, mm-hmm. Who are women that you've never heard of, but they've either founded incredible companies or they work behind the scenes on the tech that makes everything run. And it's just been really interesting hearing the backstory. And even though they're all so different, like, we all share so many commonalities working in sports, how we got started, why we enjoy it, and what keeps us going. If I had to pick a favorite, gosh, that's so hard. I can't do that. I think my favorites are the ones that I'm surprised by. Mm-hmm. I think going into, you ladies know this, you know, you go into an interview and you might expect one thing and you get something completely different out of it in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've enjoyed most about interviewing all of these women. Most of them I don't know personally. And so I'm learning a lot. And then also in that process, I'm hoping to teach others just more about that person in general, but also just more about the women who are doing awesome things in sports, like you ladies.
Well, Amanda, I'm so happy to see that I'm noticing on your Twitter page that it says that you are dabbling in some voiceover and that you can do some commercial audiobook. Because I especially have told you over and over again how soothing your voice is. And I cannot wait to hear when you become the next Delilah and we hear you in the overnights.
Oh my
so please tell me, what is this and when can we hear you
goodness.
More?
Okay. Well, first of all, never become Delilah. Delilah is like no one can become the next Delilah. Her voice is just unbelievable. Thank you for saying that. So throughout this past year, I've been just trying to figure out how to stay busy, stay creative, stay productive, and figure out sort of what my next move would be. And one of the pastimes, I guess I could say, is there's a website called Fiverr, and anyone can sort of be a part of it. And it's basically just freelancing, and you can be hired to record audiobooks or voiceover documentaries or podcast intros, or I've done a lot of voicemails for businesses, which is fun. And it takes me back to my radio days when, you know, you have to kind of keep your voice in a certain way. And it's sort of like voice acting. So I've really enjoyed it. Honestly, like, there are super talented voiceover actors out there that, like, they are trained. They go to education classes. Like, I would have to, like, really do it for a long time to get really good at it. So it's mostly just been something fun and a little extra cash. But yeah, I mean, I would totally love to record an entire audiobook or voiceover, some documentary or something. That would be amazing.
I can just hear it now. Hello, you've reached 1010XL. Please leave a message.
Yeah, I'm available for hire. If Steve Griffin is listening, you can hire me to answer the phone. I'm taking Donna's job.
Nope. I'm taking Tater's job. Taters.
Oh!
So, Amanda, you left here in 2016. You went up to New York, worked for the Rangers. Then you went out to California to work for Yahoo Sports and live in just outside of San Francisco. What was the biggest difference, you would say, between working and covering a team versus covering so many different sports?
Oh, my gosh. The biggest difference is there's less, at least from my point of view, there's less of a, like, a personal relationship and a personal connection with not only the players, but the fans. Like, okay, when I worked for the Rangers, I was kind of like part of the fan base because I was sort of bridging that gap between them and the players. And I kind of gave them the information that they wanted to know. So I had relationships with the players to learn them as best I could, and then relay that information to the fans and also get to know the fans. Like, there's a lot more personal interaction versus when you're covering all sports, which is a lot of fun because you're never bored. And, you know, you're constantly watching, learning, covering, studying, going to games. So there's a lot more interaction on a national level in terms of, like, meeting other media members when you're going to other games in different parts of the country. So that part is a lot of fun. But I definitely did miss the team-specific aspect of, like, okay, I have one team to focus on. Of course, you need to keep a pulse on the league as a whole. But focusing on one team and really getting to have those relationships with the fans and the players, I think that's the biggest difference.
Amanda, I think one of the major things this week that we are doing is kind of going down memory lane. And yesterday, us three were sharing our first times kind of here at 1010, whether it be Donna getting thrown onto the Dempsey show after two people got fired, or Lauren's palm sweating when she had to produce a show. Do you remember your very first day in the building working?
Oh my gosh. You know, I don't, but I remember my last day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I remember my first day because maybe my memory is not that great and that was so long ago. But I remember my last week. So, like, my last few days, I just remember everyone was just so great. And I mean, Lauren knows this, like, I wasn't really ready to leave. And so I was just trying to drag it out as long as possible, even though I only had a couple weeks to move to New York. But I just remember, like, being on this farewell tour kind of thing that, like, it just, I don't know, it made it that much harder to leave because, I don't know, I'm just very touched by how everyone was willing to wish me goodbye in the best way possible. But, you know, there are a lot of moments where I never truly felt, like, ready. I just kind of, like, jumped in because that was only my second, truly my second job in sports, I think. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot to learn. I was, like, 24, I think, when I started there. And I was young. I didn't really know much about anything, but Steve took a chance on me, and I think, I don't know, like you said, Lauren's palm sweating when she produced the show, like, that first time you go on air, especially, like, when I was on the Frangie show, you know, I went into it knowing that they all knew so much about Jacksonville. They were so ingrained in the community, and I was new. So mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of pressure for me to make sure I said the right thing, didn't say the wrong thing, I asked the right questions, and you know, I wanted to reflect the station in the best way possible, especially when I was out at Jags facility. So I don't know if I can pick a specific moment, but I just remember there were so many learning opportunities for me. And I missed it. I miss you guys so much. I really do.
Well, we knew how talented you were. Mm-hmm. So we knew you weren't going to stick around here long, girl.
Well, it wasn't long enough. I can tell you that. I mean, obviously, it all, you know, was meant to be moving to New York, although there was hesitation. That's where I ended up meeting my husband, which I had no idea would happen, obviously. And then working for the Rangers was something that I had never thought out to do or planned to do, but it was amazing.
I will say,
all the things are meant to be.
I agree. And I will say, too, because you were just kind of saying from being the new person here, and it's a fine line with Jaguars fans to where they get mad if you're too homer, but then they also get mad if you bash the team. So you have to find this fine line of what to say and what not to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you still want to be yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just, you know, be fake and say things just so that the fans are happy. But at the same time, you still want the fans to be happy and you want people to continue listening and enjoy what you're saying. So, yeah, absolutely. There is definitely a balance. And you just kind of figure that out, which you've done gracefully, Tater. Well, I've never called you Tater. That feels weird for me.
I know. It's strange.
Amanda, I will say, so for people who don't know, Amanda covered the team. Basically, Amanda had Hayes' job now, Hayes Carline's job as the beat reporter, and then I took over that role. Then we hired Hayes to do it. But before me, obviously, was Amanda, and before her was Jessica. But so, Amanda, mm-hmm. do you remember going in the locker room for the first time and kind of, you know, trying to not look at certain things? Because I know I do.
Yes. absolutely. It only takes one time for you to realize that you're supposed to keep your eyes up and, you know, stay out of certain areas of the locker room because, you know, it's their domain and they don't really care if you're there. And a lot of times, you know, it's changed, but I was usually the only female. Sometimes there was like one or two others. But again, like, that's their space, and you are the guest, I guess. And yeah, you kind of learn. But what's funny, I just realized when you asked before about my first day, one of the things I was intimidated about was, and I've talked to Jessica about this before. I've had Jessica Blaylock on my podcast actually. I was intimidated to take her place. Because so many people internally and just in Jacksonville in general were like, oh, you have huge shoes to fill. Jessica was amazing. And I'm like, well, I know she's great, but like I'm someone completely different, you know? So your expectations of her should be different than me. And that's hard, especially when I was young and you don't really have like that much confidence when you're starting out. So, but once you realize like it's okay to be your own person and you figure out everything on your own, it doesn't matter what the person before you did. And for those who care, Jessica and I are great friends. So there's no competition there at all. We're all friends. And yes, she told me about the locker room rule as well, which I then relayed to Lauren because, you know, we gotta look out for each other.
Oh, yes.
And not look at certain things, like you said.
Yeah. Our,
Amanda, well, certainly... obviously, the best of congratulations to you on the wedding, but also
thank you.
You started a new job yesterday, so we're excited for you in that role as well.
Yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's brand new. It's been an interesting year being out of work, and I know I'm not the only one, but I've sort of taken a risk getting into a completely different industry. It's similar in the sense that it's the event industry. It's the outdoor industry, but it is not technically in sports or media, so I have a lot to learn. And I'm excited about it. It's definitely, there are so many changes going on right now, but I think that's how it's always happened for me. Everything just happens at once and I just have to go with the flow. So thank you for your words of encouragement and support. They are definitely needed.
Well, my only advice to you, my dear friend, is pack all the wine from Napa Valley, Russian River Valley, Sonoma Valley, all those valleys out there, and take it with you, because you will not find wine as good if you end up moving.
Oh, I know. I know. Yes, Lauren is alluding to the fact that we are moving, which I guess I haven't like truly announced, but we are leaving California. We love it here. It is brutally expensive, and we want to be closer to our family, so we are moving back to the East Coast, but in the Northeast, not Florida, unfortunately. But yeah, the wine is probably the biggest thing that we will miss, but thank goodness for online ordering and shipping, because that is how we will be surviving.
All right, well, good luck the rest of this week and your first week at the new gig, and thanks so much for joining us. Always good to catch up with you.
Thank you, ladies. I'm so glad to hear your voices. It was so nice to catch up. I appreciate you all.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
That is Amanda Borges DeVore, just recently married. She got married a month ago yesterday.
Yeah.
It's easy to remember because she and Trevor Lawrence have the same
wedding day.
Date. So it's going to be a day I remember.
I feel like we can carry that locker room advice into life of like, keep your head up and your...
There's actually the country singer Chase Rice. His entire motto is head down, eyes up, and he's made a brand for himself, mm-hmm. and it's HDEU. And he said after his father passed away, he was realizing that he was just not in a good place, and he was just always had his head down, and he was working out one day, and he just all of a sudden it hit him like head down, eyes up. But you got to, you know, you got to keep working hard, mm-hmm. but you also got to keep your eyes up and be focused on the future. So there you have it. Anyway, that was Amanda Borges DeVore. Thanks again to her for joining us. And Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyrell, it continues in just a few moments.
Just as free.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. RJ Saunders literally picked any Zach Brown Band song that he wanted to.
Happens
and
to be your favorite?
He picked my favorite Zach Brown Band song, which is Free. When they do this in concert, which I got to see for the very first time way back in 2009, they weave Into the Mystic by Van Morrison into this song, which that's another one of my favorite songs. So it's like just pure.
They've been around since 2009.
Wonderful mm-hmm. things for me. They have. Yeah, that's when Chicken Fried had just been released. And I got to see them at Mavericks with a bunch of my girlfriends. Mavericks at the Landing, which obviously no longer exists. Yeah.
What Landing?
Yeah, that's where I also saw Old Dominion with Amanda Borges. But to get to the point, we have a pair of Zach Brown Band tickets to give away right now. Caller number what, Taylor?
Caller number 4.
Caller number 4, 641-1010. The concert is Friday, October 8th at Daly's Place. Tickets do not go on sale until Friday on Ticketmaster.com. So this is a true win before you can buy them.
Ooh.
Real quick story, I went ahead and got my Zach Brown Band tickets because I was afraid this is going to sell out, because I do think it'll sell out very quickly. I went ahead and joined the fan club membership yesterday.
This was also a stressful process yesterday.
This was a very stressful process to decide if I should join it or not, because it's not free. But in the end, after about 2 hours of going back and forth, I decided it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So then today I go to log on to purchase the tickets, and two things went wrong. One, my computer laptop died. My laptop died, and my computer cord was here at the station.
Oh, no.
So that was not good. But also, I logged on at the wrong time. My presale was at noon, and I logged on at 10 a.m. thinking that's when, because a lot of presales are 10 a.m. So I went through the whole process, and like 15 minutes later, I realized that's for a different group of people. They're better than me. They're VIP people, and I'm not. And so then at noon, I logged back on, but again, not on my computer. I had to do it all on the iPad, which does not work nearly as well through Ticketmaster. But long story short,
you got your
after hours upon hours of all of this, I got the tickets.
Nice.
I got 4 tickets in the pit area, so I'm even more excited because I love the pit area.
Me too.
I've been to concerts before where nobody wanted to stand in that area, and so I've literally been asked to sit down at a concert, which just rubs me wrong. Right, same at a sporting event, absolutely not. So this way, there's no possible chance anyone can ask me to sit down.
You're sitting on the ground.
And after going to a Zach Brown Band concert before at Daly's Place, Brian literally was like, you're singing too loud. So there's no way that can happen this time either, because we're going to be in the pit and there's no way I can sing over the music.
And the entire pit of people.
Needless to say, I am super excited. And for all the people who are not the winners tonight, because of course the phones are lit up, we are giving away another pair of tickets tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. That is our first hour tomorrow night, Best Bet Poker Show 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. And another pair of tickets, the final pair of tickets. Thursday, we will be live at Mr. Chubby's. We're not going to give the tickets away there physically, but we are going to give them away in the first hour when we are at Mr. Chubby's in the 6 o'clock hour. So be listening if you want to win them.
Yes. I will say I saw Zach Brown Band also the last time when they were at Daly's mm-hmm. Place, and they're amazing. I had the pit tickets that time. I think we had been talking about it because you were mad because someone was telling you to sit. And I was like, no, it was great. And I have videos where I'm like at the stage and what's the lead singer's name?
Zach Brown.
Oh, duh. Duh. So Zach Brown, actually, because they added a stage like extension.
Right.
So he came out into the crowd and was like down on his knees.
And
like,
I think
singing
I had tears
everybody.
Streaming down my face when you were showing me these videos because I was so incredibly jealous.
And it was Colder Weather, which is my favorite Zach Brown band song. And I just remember everything. Everything was great. The backdrop was great. They did a lot. And I blanked on that, which I should know that.
So that's why I needed to get pit tickets this time around. And it was worth it to join the Zamily, is what it's called.
The Zamily.
The Zach Brown Band fan club. And his.
We need to go back to that. What? What's the lead singer's name?
I've seen a lot of concerts. They all run together.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I don't know, for like some reason in my head, I'm like, I don't think I've ever just been like, yeah, Zach was singing. So I think that's why I wasn't
that's
thinking
like
about it.
Dave Matthews Band. What's the lead singer's name again?
Which I've also seen them, and they're really good too. I want to get to the schedule a little bit. We have a little bit over 24 hours before the schedule release. Mm-hmm. So
we will be
they're
on
saying
tomorrow
eight.
When it is released.
When it's released, So they're saying 8. Who knows if it's exactly at 8. Obviously, we'll be hearing rumors already today. There's little things going on about little things leak, and they'll probably be leaking all day tomorrow. One of the big things today was that the NFL did announce there'll be two London games this year, which will be Jaguars and Falcons, both home games for both of the teams. So they're not doing the Mexico game this season. They don't feel safe with COVID, but obviously with London have things under control and they feel safe to do it. So I remember last year, but when everything was announced, and it was originally before COVID, obviously, was two games. And it was an absolute uproar here in Jacksonville of, like, you're taking two of our home games away. This season, obviously, it's a little different because now we have a 17th game, which is also the Jaguars, an extra home game for them this season. So technically, they're just taking away that extra game that they just gave us this last year. I still see a little bit of people upset. Are you guys upset about that at all, the one London home game?
No, it's just like it's as if a regular season. So it's that's fine. I mean, that's what was going to happen anyways. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, we didn't know if the London games were going to happen this year or not. So now they are.
I mean, I think the Jaguars are not the only team that does this. Yes, they were the first team and they've gone every year.
Yeah.
But notice that lots of other teams want to do it too. It's mm-hmm. because it is a big revenue stream. Mm-hmm. The question that you have is what percentage will the capacity be at by the time we get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that it would have to be at least 75% in order for the Jaguars to get
enough money.
You're
talking about over there?
Right, yeah. The game in London for the Jaguars to get enough money. And it's at Tottenham, which the Jaguars had not played there before. So that at least will be interesting. But I just wonder, what the capacity and what the restrictions will look like at that point, which – who knows what month that'll be? Obviously, we'll find out tomorrow night. And I would assume that they're going to put the London games for both the Jags and the Falcons a little later in the season to give London more time even to get things closer to 100% capacity.
And I know they also try to base it around their bye weeks because you want to give them a little extra time. If not, it's just hectic for a team to even try to do that. I think it'll be interesting because we don't even know really what a full packed NFL stadium is going to look like here, let alone them traveling. And like you said, what it's going to look like over there. So I think it would be smart for them to kind of push it back a little bit to see how, number one, gauge how things are going here. But in addition to adding now traveling and all of that.
Well, and that's where, to me, Taylor, the crazy news of today is the fact that there are 5 Yankees coaches who have tested positive for the virus, yet they've
all
been
vaccinated.
And so obviously my first question is how long ago were they vaccinated? Because if it was less than 2 weeks ago that they got their second shot, well, they aren't completely, you know, technically vaccinated. Yeah. I would assume, though, that they probably all have been vaccinated for a while. And so that just makes you think, oh no, are we about to go through another wave of all this with mm-hmm. people who have already been vaccinated? And then are we, all of our ideas about, oh, 100% capacity, are all of those going
to
go away?
Yeah. Do you know the rules of MLB? Are they all, do they get to choose which vaccine they're getting, or are they all told which one to take? Do you know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I would assume that it's their choice, because I don't think they can
say, hey, go take this vaccine.
Right. Because yeah. I don't, to my knowledge, I don't think any of the leagues were the ones vaccinating. I thought, I could be wrong, but I thought people were still signing up to go to mm-hmm. either their own doctor or pharmacy or things like that. But I mean, certainly the leagues may have other ways that they can go about doing it. But I know, like for me personally, the first shot, my arm was a little sore. Second shot, my arm really wasn't sore at all, and I didn't get sick. So mm-hmm. I felt great, and I was like, well, had I known it was going to be that easy, like, I would have started telling other people, because I was concerned I was going to get sick. Yeah. I had heard so many people get sick, but I was like, oh, perfect. And that yeah. was, but I'm still in the window where that was just last Friday.
It will be interesting to follow along, because like you said, who, if something like this comes up and it's five coaches right away, but I mean, who knows, because it could be a situation where they were exposed and then just a week later got the vaccine. So it's kind of that thing, because some people, you don't start even seeing any sort of symptoms. They're also saying they're asymptomatic. So right. they just ended up testing positive.
Yeah. And so that, I think, is also really interesting. Is that what we're going to see
yeah.
moving forward, is if you've been vaccinated, then you, if
positive,
you,
but no symptoms.
Yeah. If you are testing mm-hmm. positive, you don't have any symptoms, which I think is really good. I talked to someone, couple weeks ago, and he told me that, so he got the virus in January and he still has no sense of smell to yeah. this day.
I have a friend who has no taste yet, and it's been almost 6 months.
And like, that's the thing, right? Like, completely asymptomatic, I think a lot of people would say, okay, I'll deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, that's not a big deal, other than testing positive and having to get tested, which, yeah. you know, a lot of people
very
have already had to go through. Yeah, but I would say for the majority of people, well, wait a minute. I thought I was, like, once I get yeah. fully vaccinated, I thought I was over this thing. Yeah. We don't even have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, which is crazy that now it's been a year of us talking about vaccinations and COVID positives and how they're going to affect sports. But I feel like it will be a while that we will be talking about this. So a little bit more of the schedule. Like I said, a little over 24 hours. So obviously they have the AFC South, which all of those, which it's kind of going to be an interesting season with that, because the Jaguars aren't the disaster or kind of big question mark of the AFC South, which is a little different. But some of the away opponents, aside from the AFC South, they'll face the Patriots, they'll face the Jets, they'll face the Rams, they'll face the Seahawks, they'll face the Bengals. Those are all the away games. And then for home, they have the AFC South teams, in addition to the Bills, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Broncos. So my question for you, with all of this now, Urban Meyer, Trevor, possibly Tebow, who knows, a lot of things have changed this offseason. Do you think it'll change in the realm of the Jaguars finally getting some primetime games, not Thursdays?
Well, I think because the Vegas over and under is still set at either 6 or 6.5, I think the answer is probably going to be unfortunately not. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the Jaguars and the Jets.
Six primetime?
No. Over-under wins.
Oh.
Over-under still set at
like,
wins.
Like, whoa.
Dang. That's
oh, absolutely
like,
not.
That is a lot of prime times.
Yeah, no. Okay. I would say probably not, because there's I'm assuming the schedule makers are still going off of that. But Jaguars-Jets, just because of the Jets winning that mm-hmm. second game mm-hmm. and then Trevor Lawrence coming here, Zach Wilson going there. I was on a station today in Las Vegas, and the guy is actually a Jets fan, and he was still super upset with the Jets, despite the fact that they got Zach Wilson. So, and then I called him Pretty Boy, and he said I was adding salt to his wounds, which was so much fun.
Doogie Howser, man.
But I will say the game that, in my opinion, should be primetime if they're going to make one. Again, you could do Jaguars-Jets, but it would be Rams-Jaguars. Mm-hmm. There are so many storylines, but primarily the fact that Jalen Ramsey quit on his team here
yeah.
and got traded to the Rams, like that would be sensational to me, especially if the Jaguars obviously win. But that's one where I would love to see the revenge kind of storyline build all yeah. week.
I think it'd also be cool to see Matthew Stafford on a different team, because that's
for sure.
It's a big storyline of, hey, what is Stafford going to do in L.A.?
I get it. The revenge with Ramsey to me is kind of pushed aside. That's old news to me. I find it interesting with the Niners, you know, with Trey Lance, if mm-hmm. he is starting,
mm-hmm.
If it's not Jimmy G. But if it is Mac Jones, I see yeah. Patriots, I see Patriots, Jaguars. I also see Jets, Jaguars. I see two primetime games there. I could see a Sunday night matchup. I could see a Monday night matchup. And that would be excellent, all because of Trevor. That's what I see right there.
Yeah, I think I'll say a Thursday in addition to one other is what I think they'll get. But I agree. I think that if they made one a primetime, it would be the Jets just because of that battle of Zach Wilson versus Trevor Lawrence.
There's also the storyline, if Deshaun Watson is able to play, you've got Deshaun Watson and his predecessor and Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, if he is
Clemson, which who knows what's going on.
Yeah, you've got two national championships between the two of them at Clemson. And so I think that could also be, I mean, you can create storylines on any of these.
There's so many. I mean, it really is.
I cannot wait for tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I know. Also, just as a side note, I am planning my family's 50th family reunion. It was supposed to be last year, but obviously got called off. So it's this year, and we postponed it to the fall to make sure everybody felt safe attending. And I, because I'm in charge, I am trying to plan it around the Jaguars' schedule. So everyone in the family has been asking me when it's going to be. And I keep saying, May 12th. I will tell you, May 12th.
Why don't you plan it in the summertime? Because you always make fun of people planning stuff during football season.
Exactly. But it's because not everybody. I sent out a survey saying, would you be comfortable in the summer or do we need to push it to the fall? And at the time, most people, the vaccination had not been widespread. So everybody's response for the most part was, in the fall, and so that's why I did it. So
I will say one more before we go to break, because another one that I saw on Twitter that someone posted that would be fun is Bills, just number one because they're a good team right now. But yeah, it's Allen, and someone said they want to see Allen sack Allen, and I'm like, yes, I'm tired of Googling Josh Allen and that Josh Allen popping up first. I want ours to pop up first. So there's a lot of good storylines, a lot of young quarterbacks versus young quarterbacks on the schedule. So tomorrow will be fun because we'll have a whole lot of schedule release some stuff. But up next, we're going to catch up with Emily Tillo from the Players. So that's next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
It's like a class reunion. Alumni Week on 1010XL.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
It is like a reunion. Donna Murphy's here. Taylor Dahl is here. RJ Saunders is always making it all happen. I'm Lauren Brooks, and we are joined by Emily Tillo, who, of course, joins us all throughout the year, PR and community outreach for the Players. Emily, I have to congratulate you on a job well done for this year's Players. I thought it was outstanding.
Aw, thanks. It's kind of hard to believe that it was already 2 months ago, and now here we are. It's like, okay, 2022 Players, let's go.
Right, and we've talked since then, but for real, every time I think about it, I think of how everyone talks about it so glowingly. All right, on the heels of that, last week you had a major announcement and a major donation, and what's amazing is that the PGA Tour and the Players is still able to make these big donations, even when it wasn't 100% capacity, but $50,000 to Edward Waters College in order to reinstate the women's golf program, one of only two HBCUs in the state with women's golf. Congratulations.
Oh, so awesome. And I played college golf, so playing collegiately changed my life. So it was definitely an announcement that you go, wow, like girls' lives are going to be changed because of this. You don't know what doors that opens in terms of just getting a golf scholarship or having the access to play tournaments and travel across the country and compete against other people and get connected to the alumni network there. And it was an incredibly special announcement, a culmination of, you know, 6 to 9 months of conversations that we had with EWC's president and athletic director. And the backing too that we have from the tour standpoint is amazing, because the process has already started with trying to find their head coach and then obviously recruit players to play in 2022. So we've got feelers out there to our contacts in the golf industry to find them an incredible coach. So it's so cool. It's that was like icing on the cake to end the tournament and then start planning that announcement.
Well, and how long was it from when you knew the answer was going to be, yes, we're going to give them the money, to when you told them?
So, yeah, we knew actually for a few months. It was just determining dates in terms of when we wanted to make the announcement, when it would be ideal, both from the college's standpoint and from our standpoint. As it got closer to Players, we were like, oh, my gosh, I don't think there's a way we can make this work with all the things that we have planned. And so knowing that EWC's commencement took place this past week, we needed to time it before then. And then the president's schedule obviously got crazy. But to be able to be there with our red coats and then have the red coats deliver more than 10,000 of supplies to the team, which I actually helped order. It was a lot of fun because nice. Like Titleist golf balls, backpacks, duffels, push carts. And Marsha, my boss, joked, she's like, oh yeah, just, you know, let Emily order them. She knows what they like. It's funny because I'm about to be depleted on my supply of that I've been hanging on to since my college days of golf balls. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way at this point that I can continue justifying paying for Titleist golf balls. Gotta demote myself to a lesser brand. No, but it was a lot of fun.
It's really amazing. And last year, I remember when everything kind of got canceled on that day. And for us, we were sad because it's a big event here and we all love going to the Players' Championship. But in addition to that, things like this you didn't get to do last year because we had to miss out on the entire tournament. So it's really cool that they got to be able to do that. I want to get into you because I didn't know a whole lot about you, but this week when I was doing promo stuff, so I do all the social media, and so I was putting together a lot of things about all the guests we'll have this week, and so I Googled you, and I found a lot of really good things. First of all, like, you were NCAA Woman of the Year at one point, and I had no idea.
I was a finalist, actually. Where are you? So the way it worked, it's 5 years ago, so I graduated from BU in 2016. So I was the Boston University Athletics Woman of the Year. So each year, the athletic department nominates a female student athlete. And then from there, the conference picks the Woman of the Year. So I won the Patriot League Woman of the Year nomination. And then from there, they submit it to the NCAA. And so I'm just getting chills talking about it because it was one of the coolest experiences of my life to be able to look back on my 4 years at BU and have that culminate with that award. The NCAA chooses 10 women from each division. So I was one of 10 from D1 to then make it to the top 30.
Wow.
And then we went to Indianapolis for a celebration that fall after I graduated. And my coach was there. My mom was there. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life. It was amazing.
That's huge.
A girl from MIT won, and yeah. I still have her T-shirt. Like, we traded it, and I was like, I think it's still hanging in my closet, which is kind of nerdy, but I was like,
no, keep
right across
forever.
The river in Boston, yeah.
I remember I saw it, and I was like, man, like, I knew Emily was cool, but like, this is really
Thank
cool.
Thank you.
Well, I love it when we were, like she said, we were just doing background. It's like, let's just get to know her more, and I'm like, wait. Do I remember that you graduated from Boston University?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know any of that.
I'm like, I know that we've talked Boston stuff, but I'm like, I don't remember we've ever talked Boston University before. So
and it's
like,
even more rare that someone from down here goes to school up there because went to Stanton for high school, and my older sister went to UF undergrad and BU for her master's, and so she started the trend, and I fell in love with the city. I mean, they had an awesome program, both golf and academic. And then my little sister followed, and she was in the diving team up at BU. And so it's funny how one sibling starts the trend and the rest follow. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I loved it. It definitely opened my eyes to obviously a different part of the country, and you have to be a little bit more grittier in the winter. Like,
oh,
even
yeah.
this time
oh,
of year,
yeah.
sometimes you're still wearing a down coat,
oh,
which
yeah.
is miserable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I appreciated the Florida winters, but I loved it.
So you're like,
awesome,
back to
years.
Florida.
Yeah.
All right, so when, if you haven't yet, when mm-hmm. is Trevor Lawrence going to be out on the 17th?
Oh, my gosh. I literally was talking to someone about that last week because we need to make it happen. I was talking with a few colleagues. We obviously extended the formal invitation on Twitter.
We need
right
those
when
flowing locks
oh,
to be
my
seen
gosh.
On 17.
Right, that right? northwest wind coming out as he's hitting the tee shot, holding the finish. Does his wife play too? I don't know. I mean, I know they were both at the Masters.
That's
but
a good question.
We need to get
I don't
him,
even know if
Urban.
He plays.
Urban obviously came out to the Players this year and
right.
was stoked to be out there. He was awesome. I mean, he talked with Mike Tirico. He went on the set of Golf Channel.
Wow.
He just seemed to love it.
Right.
So. Well, I think the foursome probably needs to be at this point
yes.
Urban, Trevor, mm-hmm. Tim Tebow, and who's the fourth?
Marissa.
Marissa. There,
there
we go.
Go.
There we go. Well, we need to
or
make Travis it happen.
Or you.
It's just, yeah, true. I would love that. That'd be great.
So, Emily, you said college golf kind of changed your mm-hmm. life or certainly set the career trajectory probably a little different. How many schools recruited you and when did you think first start or when did you first start thinking about playing college golf?
So I grew up competitively swimming. That was like my first love. I wanted to be like an Olympic swimmer.
What was your stroke?
Backstroke and freestyle. Yeah,
okay.
I was a sprinter. I was not, I mean, Yeah. Fun fact, in the river, did you swim River City Swim League?
I did.
We talked about this at one point. I won like the little
eight and under
championships. And that's awesome. It was so much fun. But yeah, grew up swimming and then started playing golf when I was 12. I didn't make the middle school volleyball team. And I was like, that's it. Like, we're just going to try golf. My brother was 5 at the time. So we just did weekly lessons. And then it's funny how you just don't really remember why it stuck, but it just stuck. And then I would say probably sophomore year of high school is when I was like, I want to play this competitively in college. But I wasn't a highly sought after like high school player. I was a late bloomer, and it really worked out because I wanted to play D1, but I also knew that I would have a really tough time at a school like UF fighting for that sixth spot. And I really wanted to go where you could play and like improve, and met the golf coach at BU, Bruce, who was a really awesome competitive amateur golfer. I mean, 25 appearances across like USGA, Mass Opens.
Wow.
Just an awesome golf figure up in New England, and knew the game, and did kind of got in touch with him late my senior year of high school. And then that led to a visit in December, and it all happened so quickly. And then during that visit, I verbally committed pretty much a few days later, and the rest is history. So it was just meant to be. It was one of those things where you look back and you're like, man, I know I was listening to Amanda right before, and she's just like, sometimes when it, like everything just happens at once. And that's how I felt. I remember when I got the call from the coach, I was with my brother. I think we had just gotten to go get ice cream or something like that. Like the most random thing. And then that led to the visit to BU. And then that led to the next 4 years up at BU, which was awesome.
One of the things we've been kind of rehashing is our memories of either first day or just nerves of like one of the first times we did a certain thing. For me, we were talking about updates. So it's funny because Facebook has the memories or whatever that pop up. So 3 years ago was the first Players Championship that I did. And that was the year that Xander Schauffele was coming off of his Rookie of the Year season. And he was one of the first golfers that I met. And I remember being just like so extreme. And I wasn't even interviewing them. I was just working the perch to get the guys to come over to do the interview. But I still remember being like, I have to walk up to this guy and just be like, come talk to us. Like, this is so weird. But he was super cool. But it made me start thinking, because obviously you've met some of the biggest of the biggest. Do you remember your first like major golfer you met? Nerve-wise?
I do, because the first tournament that I worked, I helped at the media center. It was then the Barclays, now the Northern Trust. It was at Bethpage Black. My mom's from Long Island, so like my uncle was right up the road. It was awesome. Like, to be able to work that tournament at that course was so cool. And I remember one of the media officials, Mark Williams, who is still a media official with the tour, he was like, come on, Emily, you're going to help with kind of coordinating the media appearances. And I remember when Ricky Fowler came up and like was walking towards me, I was just like, oh my God. Like, you obviously don't want to be that fangirl. Yeah. And I was like, Emily, stay professional. But like inside, I was like, I've grown up watching this kid on TV. And then like, I'm just eye to eye with him because we're both.
No, you
like,
weren't. You were looking down.
Yeah, probably.
You're so much taller than he is.
Well, no, I just remember him like staring at me. And I was like, wow, that's Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler. And then I remember asking Emiliano Grillo a few questions, and I was just like, Emily, think of a better question than just like, so walk us through your round today. But I was so nervous.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, right?
That's all you got to do. Just
I know, exactly.
What,
but
what
yeah,
happened
that was fun.
On, and then you just throw out a number. What happened on six?
What glove did you use? Yeah.
What glove did you use?
Is Bethpage Black a major this year?
Shoot.
I don't think so.
No.
But it's been a major course in the past.
Yes, it has. Yeah, 09, I think. Okay. U.S. Open. I'm trying to remember when. Is it Winged Foot?
Mm-hmm.
That is the U.S. Open
site.
Oh, gosh. I'm getting all the majors confused.
Well, that's because we only focus on one here.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And as we told Jared Rice last week, like, all right, someone has to tell Trevor Lawrence, we know you went to the Masters. You're not going back there. From now on, it's the Players only, my friend.
Players only, yeah.
So speaking of the Players, how are the plans coming along? I know we're only, a little bit of removed from,
right, yeah,
you
what's
know.
The countdown? I don't think it's on the website yet.
Right.
But
how are we looking for 2022?
Good. We just had last Friday, so our volunteer leadership gets together each year and kind of does a massive debrief. And you guys would just be blown away by the level of detail that these volunteers pour into.
I would love it.
Facilities, transportation, evac drills and all the wrenches that COVID threw. I mean, it was just crazy. So we sat in last Friday morning from 8 to 12:30, and they walked us through their top 10, feedback that they got from their committee chairs. And so from here, I think it's all of us putting together our plans too, because as we think about hopefully things getting back to normal, more out of market promotion in terms of key regional markets we want to try to attract to come to Jacksonville for the tournaments, that's going to be, I think, a really big focus. And then getting that national media presence and exposure on the Jacksonville area is going to be, from my standpoint and a PR standpoint, important to showcase, you know, this tournament mm-hmm. and kind of build on what we started before COVID hit, because this past year we really had to make sure we leaned into the local community first, which mm-hmm. obviously is our number one priority, but we obviously want to make sure we're putting Jacksonville on the map and showcasing this community. So I would say those two big things.
Well, I feel bad for you guys next year for having to compete against that finish with Justin Thomas, mm-hmm. You know, with that last three holes, but good luck.
I know. I was watching a recap video that we put together, and that club twirl where he kind of like almost does a reverse and then does the club twirl again. So cool. We actually found out what club he's going to donate. I feel like I'm ruining the surprise because you can probably guess. I just kind of spilled the beans, but excited about that and when we'll hopefully make that unveil.
Awesome.
On the little clubhouse wall.
That's awesome.
And we talked about it, I think, right after the tournament, but I loved that there was a woman prominently involved throughout the players, because Lee Westwood's girlfriend, fiance, yes. I forget the title now, Helen, is his caddy. And so it kind of brings it all together. All right, Emily, well, thank you so much for joining
us.
Only 10 months away until we have the next players, right?
Yeah, before we know it, it'll be January of 2022. Nuts. Thank you so much.
Thank
have fun
you.
The rest of this week.
Absolutely. It is Alumni Week, and we'll be right back on Homeless Needles, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Welcome back to Alumni Week.
My bad.
It's
I
okay.
stepped right
it's
all
right.
over Taylor.
Okay. I'm talking. Emily's still here, and I'm just telling her I got everybody back in the house sick. It's just snots and germs and
that's snots.
Well,
snots.
You know, when you got the child in daycare, mm-hmm. and then the child comes home and brings everything home from daycare,
mm-hmm. right?
And somehow, miraculously, which I just knocked on wood, just that I haven't gotten anything, but everybody else has gotten everything. And so
I'm so glad there's plexiglass right now between us, Taylor.
I still wear my mask for that effect.
Right.
I don't want to give anything, whatever I may be walking around with, you know, left out
sure.
into the ether. You know,
I went to the post office today again. And so I'm standing in line and I realized the person in front of me.
We never got into that
no,
story.
No, we didn't get that story. I'll tell it. But I'm in the post office for the second time because yesterday I went to return some items. And I stood in line for probably about 30 minutes. And then I got to the front of the line and he said, that's the wrong packaging, which I hadn't sealed it yet. So that part at least was okay. But by the time I had to go get new packaging, I realized I was going to have to stand in line again. And at this point, I was going to be late for the show. So my bad part was I walked out of the postal service with now my clothes I have to return in their packaging that I did not purchase. So I felt horrible.
Thief.
And I felt like, I had committed a federal crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I went to the post office again, same post office, and I paid them for their packaging. So all is well in the world, and I was not arrested at any point in time. But I'm in line for the post office, and the girl in front of me, I realize, isn't wearing a mask, which everyone in there had masks on. She was the only one who didn't. And whatever, that's fine. But then she starts sneezing and she never stopped. And I was like, this is why you wear a mask, to trap your germs. Like, even if it's just the run of the mill stuff, like your daughter has, I don't want that in the air around me. Like, keep it all in there.
Don't put it on the ether.
But speaking of masks, Taylor, do you want to tell your mask story?
Well, I have two mask stories then, because this one's gross, but I couldn't get around it.
It's very gross.
Yes. But we'll get to that in a second. But this made me think of one, because also when we were in Atlanta, both have to do with when we were in Atlanta, we were in an Uber and we were wearing our masks in the Uber. And it was one of like when I swallowed, but like the spit went down the wrong, mm-hmm. hole. So I started choking, but then I was about to choke, but then I didn't want to start coughing because I didn't want the Uber driver to be like, this girl's just coughing in my backseat.
Yep.
So then I'm trying to hold it in. So then my eyes are watering and I'm like I'm trying to hold in a cough and it was miserable. And I remember getting out and Colin's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm dying. Like I'm trying not to cough in the Uber. And he's like, you have your mask on. Like, it's okay. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want people to look at me like that. But the other one, which is what I was telling them yesterday, it's gross. But in the airport, obviously, you have to have your mask on. On the plane, you have to have your mask on. So we flew Southwest, which Southwest, you get like, they let you just throw bags for free all the time if you want to check them. So we were going for the entire 4 days and I had a large suitcase. So I checked it, which had all my like backup masks on it. And I had my one with me. So I stop and get Starbucks and some breakfast before, and as I'm walking back to my seat, I go to throw something in the trash can and accidentally throw my mask away with my trash. Don't have another mask though, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get this mask out of the trash can. And so I literally had to open the trash, get my mask out, and then wear it. And I remember being like, this has to be less sanitary than me actually like spreading COVID because this is not okay. And I even looked in every I'm thinking, oh, it's an airport where people are traveling. Like there's masks somewhere. Not one of the little, well, two gift were shops. Closed. Two gift shops were closed. One didn't have any mask. And I asked the lady and she's like, no, like we just ran out. And I was like. So I ended up having to go to the bathroom where I washed it with like soap and water and then put the sanitizer that they have in there and then like held it under the hand dryer for like ever until I could get it as dry as possible. But I came back out and again, Colin's like, where did you go? And I was like, I threw my mask in the trash can. So then I had to go on a mission to try to find a mask. And he's like, ooh, you're wearing it? I was like, what do you want me to do?
I've thought about it since you told me the story yesterday. Here's what I think I would have done. Is I would have fished it out of the trash, but then I would have gone to maybe a very lovely 40 or 50 something year old woman that I felt like would have an extra mask in their purse. I would have offered her $5 to $10, maybe even $20 for her second mask. And then if she had one, because you know most women have two another. Masks.
Or like so. Even the, and I was hoping even when I went to the lady and said, hey, are you selling masks? That she would have been like, no, but here's one of the right. like blue, you
yes,
know, like
disposable, ones.
Disposable yeah. ones. Like hoping she would say that because I told her I threw my mask in the trash and had to get it out. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. And I was like, okay. So I ended up, I had another mask in my suitcase, like I said. So once we actually landed, I switched that out really fast. But it's still what I remember. Like, and I'm like looking around, like people are like, why is she digging in the trash?
Oh, the embarrassment.
I know. I was like, this is so nice.
Donna, what would you have done?
I would have worn my sports bra instead of
I don't
a
have
trash
a sports bra.
She
I didn't
have
a sports bra.
Bra.
I didn't have a bag. I didn't have my suitcase. I literally had my little tiny bag with it had a blanket and like chapstick.
Then I
would have
cut
have any
up
of
my blanket. No. And
so
tied
here's
that
an
on
idea.
My face.
Could you have like tissues and then tape like scotch tape? Would that suffice to get
know.
Out of an airplane?
I was just trying to figure out in the whim of like also just in panic mode too because they're strict. And I was like, I don't want to get in trouble for not wearing my mask because there's people walking like, put your mask on. And I don't like getting in trouble. So I was like trying to figure this out. And then once you sat down in your little chair, they're not as strict. So I just sat down the whole time until we got on the plane. But then I had to wear it on the plane. But it was still, I was like, this is just, I don't want to wear a mask anymore.
Did you have like a zip up hoodie or something?
No. And I wore a big sweater. That's all I had. It didn't even have a tank top underneath. It was just like.
You didn't wear like a shirt underneath your sweater?
No. Because it was like my travel sweater. It's like my sweater I always wear when I travel.
We are breaking this down.
Yeah. Believe me, I was like going in my head. Like when I was in the bathroom, I was like, do I have anything in my purse that I could just possibly, a scarf, like a headband, like something.
What would you do if you saw someone with scotch tape and a tissue in front of their mouth? Would you laugh?
Probably.
Would you be like, what happened?
Socks? What could you have like,
well,
did
now
you have
I'd be
socks
like, did you throw your mask
on?
I empathize with you. That's the thing though. If masks are required, and at the airport, obviously they are, or at the postal service, they are, you know, certain places they have signs. I do think masks should be available for purchase. I'm not saying they have to give them away for free, but they should have like for a dollar, you can buy a mask that saves.
Well,
you.
Now I know to have another one when I'm traveling, especially because that moment I just remember, and it took me a second as I was walking away from the trash can. I was like, oh my gosh, my mask was in my hand when I just did that.
Dude, well, I think just ask Colin, now. Stand up on your chair and plead, does anybody have an extra one I could buy?
At that point, I feel like at the airport, you do something crazy like that and they're going to be like, you're out of here. I think here's another thing I would have done. Hey, Colin, I need your mask.
I know.
You need to go find a
new mask. He probably
would have
given it to me because he's the most, like, anti-masker. So he'd be like, I don't care. He's, like, he's that person that he won't even wear his unless someone asks him to actually put it on. And he's like, no one ever asked me, so I just don't wear it. I'm not. I don't like being that person, like, where people are staring at me like, oh, that girl's one of those that won't put her mask on. So I should have just been like, give me your mask and you get in trouble.
But, yeah, I mean, you couldn't fly without it.
Yeah,
so.
No.
Oh, well, goodness. There you have it. That's why we started the show last night, and Donna said that one of us was gross and one of us was a thief. Now you have all the backstories. All right, one segment to go here on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tara Ellett on 1010XL.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Congratulations to Theron Stewart. He is the winner of our first pair of Zac Brown Band tickets. Lead singer is the one and only Zac Brown. We are giving away another pair of tickets.
In case you didn't know.
Tomorrow, we are on from 7 to 9 tomorrow following the Best Bet Poker Show. So first hour of the show, we will give away our second pair. And then our third and final pair, we will give away during the 6 o'clock hour, so our first hour on Thursday. We will be live on Thursday at Mr. Chubby's. And Donna, do we have something to give away while we're there?
We do. We will have a wonderful $50 gift card to Mr. Chubby's, along with some awesome 1010XL swag. We will give that live while we are at Mr. Chubby's. This is going to be in Ponte Vedra. Also, I have already, while we were on air earlier tonight, I have just double-checked with the wonderful Mr. David Gerard, double-checked that he is good to go for Thursday. Him and his wife, Mary, are going to join us from 6 to 7 live at Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra. They were our very first guests of Helmets and Heels almost 8 years ago. So him and Mary are going to join us live on location, Mr. Chubby's in Ponte Vedra. So we're going to give you that $50 gift card to Mr. Chubby's along with some 1010XL swag. But you got to be live there with us.
Alive and live.
Alive. You got to be alive and live.
Blythe is also going to join us at Mr. Chubby's. Is that Blythe. Correct?
Yes. Blythe. One of our original members.
Blythe.
Yes.
And then tomorrow, I know we have Gary Smits joining us at 7:40 to talk golf, so that's also exciting. We've got a lot going on this week.
Yeah, because the PGA Championship is less than 2 weeks away.
That's correct. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. And I saw that Jordan Spieth is just getting over COVID because he got that right after the Masters, which is why we haven't seen him. So we can bring that up as well. But you had a fun story we didn't get into yesterday. We didn't have time. So tell us about you just RSVP'd to your cousin's wedding.
That's correct. My youngest cousin, we threw her bridal shower 2 weekends ago at my aunt's house. And then she's getting married in August in Charlotte. And I don't know if y'all have been to a wedding recently. Taylor, you have, so I don't know if you're familiar.
Taylor
with
always.
That.
I've been to so many weddings during COVID. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
So the RSVPs, a lot of times, like for Amanda's wedding, the RSVP was online. Mm-hmm. For this wedding, for my cousin's wedding, the RSVP is online. No longer do you check the physical card and mail it back to the bride and groom.
That saves some money, man.
Oh, for sure.
It saves money. The and also, and and I think, you know, there's been a lot of times where the postal service gets overwhelmed, and so you don't want to be waiting on these RSVPs. So anyway, so I RSVP'd online. Well, this was new to me. Submit a song that the bride and groom can play at the reception. So I submitted 4 songs, and here's my question is, does that make me rude? Like, I'm obviously, y'all know I'm a music person, love music, and at my cousin's shower, I was in charge of the games, the bridal shower games, and so my favorite game was one that we played called Name That Love Tune. Mm-hmm. And so I picked 13 songs that all had, and I could have done like 25, but all had love in the title. Mm-hmm. So for instance, like Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with somebody who loves me, that part's in parentheses, but love is in the title. So therefore that was the lead off song. Mm-hmm. And so the game was so fun, and people, even after we finished and we had a winner, people were like, keep going, this is fun. So I was like, well, I'm the music person, and she loved my music at the shower. So is it rude, though, that they asked for me to submit one song and I submitted four?
Well, two things. When you chose these songs, when you submitted these songs, mm-hmm. was it just because you love the song, or is it because you think it will be fitting for this particular wedding and it's something they'd enjoy also?
Great question.
Of course, I thought of music that they like. Mm-hmm. And my cousin not only mentioned Morgan Wallen when we were at the shower, but also talked about wanting to see him in concert. So like the very first song I picked was Morgan Wallen. And then I picked like Tim McGraw. I picked Whiskey Glasses by Morgan Wallen. Then mm-hmm. I picked Tim McGraw's I Like It, I Love It. Because mm-hmm. I know they both really like country and 90s country. And I feel like that would be fun.
Yeah.
And then I picked a slower song by Eric Church, again, country, called Love Your Love the Most, which I don't know that they're going to necessarily play that. But if you really listen to the words, it's kind of a song that I feel like he would totally sing to her. Mm-hmm. And then I forget my fourth song now, I'm sure it was also country. Oh, Trisha Yearwood's She's in Love with the Boy, which is super fun, right? Mm-hmm. And so all songs that that's a song I feel like she would be singing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I couldn't decide between the four, and mm-hmm. I know I'm pretty sure they would love all of them. So to answer your question, yes, I put time and effort as far as from their perspective.
Yeah, so I think then that's great because number one, you are doing it geared to, you know, something they'd like. But number two, they know you well enough to, you are the music person, you're the lyrical person, you were going to play songs that are meaningful. And so I think they'd appreciate that.
Okay,
personally.
Good. I feel better.
Okay, well, here's my question.
Okay.
Are any of these songs that you can actually dance to?
Well, the Love Your Love the Most would be a slow dance song. Okay. So I submitted one that was slower. The other three, I Like It, I Love It, for sure you can dance to. She's in Love with the Boy, maybe not so much, but that's more of like a girls on the dance floor together,
everyone
kind of
singing,
in the circles
like,
group. Okay. Yeah, song. And Whiskey Glasses, everyone will be on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
These aren't traditional, like, there's not a line dance per se to any of the
songs.
No,
that's
not,
like,
not a dance.
No,
to
right.
Them,
I'm
but
just
yes.
making sure it. For me, you hear music in a different way that I hear music.
Sure.
So I'm just asking, like, is there a groove to it?
Yes.
Otherwise, am I out there going, yeah, there's no beat to this that I can actually dance to. I'm just going to go sit my butt back down and eat some cake.
I think for the group of people that will be at the wedding, I think pretty much all of them will know these songs. And so they'll know the beat.
Okay.
For you, you may not love Whiskey Glasses, but it does. I think it has a good enough beat to dance.
I love
too.
That song. But
well, if there's an open bar, I would like any.
I'm sure there will be because it's my family. So that says all we need
and
to
any
say.
Any song it is.
But yeah, I thought about submitting the one song. But then here's the other thing is I figured, so they might look at four songs submitted and kind of laugh and be like, who submitted four? But obviously they'll see my name. And then be like, oh, well, we can pick and choose whatever one we want.
Right.
They'll design their own playlist. So I figured, they could
have choices
scratch
now.
Through. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I like it. I think you did good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you.
I like it. I would play all four at mine, personally.
Excellent. All right, I like it.
I don't think there was one country song played at mine.
Probably not.
No.
All right, so quickly before we say hello to the Sports Den.
Yes.
Donna, where were you in April 2007 when 1010 XL was first launched?
We had just moved back from Rhode Island. We were stationed there for 3 years.
Okay.
And we got married in 04, so we had just moved here. We just got stationed here. And I was then a manager at American Eagle, so I hadn't gotten into radio yet.
Okay.
So I was enjoying life doing that.
Sound very short.
Look, there's two things in this world that I think everybody should learn to do. The restaurant business, for sure. Mm-hmm. You need to at least respect the people who have worked in the restaurant business because you can tell the people, and Taylor can attest to this, mm-hmm. you can tell the people that you have waited on who have never worked a day in their life in the restaurant business because they treat you like dirt. And those people should have at least worked one day in the restaurant business. And then I always retail. Because those people that come in there and they mess up those piles that you have just folded, and I turn around and I look at those people, I'm like, rah! Which is probably why every day and I pick up clothes in the house and I'm like, rah! So yes, retail and restaurant business.
All right.
Two places you should always work.
Well, Taylor, we'll do yours tomorrow night. And I have worked in the retail business, never worked in the restaurant business, but I will say, I fully appreciate what servers have to do, and even hostesses and you know, all that fun stuff, like, and the dishwashers, the barbacks, like all of it. Like, I fully appreciate their jobs. Those are difficult jobs. All right, let's say hello to Denny Thompson.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL rolling with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
Denny, where were you in April of 2007?
April of 2007, I was still in the investment world.
Okay.
So I was probably, I don't know, either Boston, New York, or San Francisco.
Would you say you were enjoying yourself?
No. Absolutely not. No, not at all. No. But I have worked both restaurant and retail.
See? Oh, good man.
My first real job was Kenny Rogers Roasters. Do y'all remember that place?
Yeah. And what was your job there?
Whatever. It was nasty. It was like, they're out of business now. So.
And was the sign really bright?
It was like the grand opening, which is now a bank off of San Jose Boulevard. And that place was lit. Like, I mean, every single night.
Lit like Krispy Kreme.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, tons of. Fantastic. Right by the bowling alley on San Jose.
That's fantastic.
And
what
then,
about retail?
Retail was actually right when the Jags got here. I worked in one of their clothing stores in the Avenues Mall.
Ah, okay.
So that was fun, actually. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, 2007. Like, gosh, I was good and over 30 then. Yeah. I'm going to be 45 this year.
See?
Well, everybody. You could. What was the last time you played in the NFL? You could still try out.
Yeah.
The last time I played in the NFL?
Would be the first time, right?
No. I my arm hurts just from throwing a ball each day. I can't imagine. Like, I think about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's just so, like, that's not human.
Well, I think,
on any level.
I think we talk so much about Tom Brady's diet, but I've decided that he must have more elasticity in his muscles and body and joints than any other human on the planet. Mm-hmm. Because what he's able to do, and maybe that comes from the food, but what he's able to do is just unheard of.
Yeah, and if you really look at his workout plan, it's beyond obsessive. Like, it really is a hardcore commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say, you know, I can't imagine playing at that age, I'm also saying I can't imagine sticking to that regiment. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't even sound fun to me.
No. Well, the Bucks GM says he could play till he's 50. Do you think he'll play till he's 50?
I mean, what has he shown to make you think otherwise?
No. Nope.
You know, really. You look at some of these former athletes. I think, who was it? Chad Johnson. I think Chad Johnson is in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Dude looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Like, if he walked in right now and somebody said, that's an NFL player, you'd go, okay, I can see that right now. So, I mean, I'm not going to doubt it. 50 is a stretch, but I'm not going to doubt it.
What about one of the other hot topic quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers? How many years do you think he has left in the tank?
Aaron Rodgers has changed so much about his game. And the thing about Aaron Rodgers, he's changed a lot about the position and the industry. And, like, he's challenged mechanics. And the way that he's throwing right now, he can throw as long as he wants to. His best years have been the last couple years. Mm-hmm. I think he could easily he's not overly mobile anyway. And he's so smart. He gets rid of the ball so quick. He could easily play until he's, you know, 42, 43, 44.
Do you think he'll be starting for the Packers this season?
Ooh, I hope so. I don't want to see him go out like that. I don't care about the Packers. I love watching Aaron Rodgers play. I think he's a miserable human being from everything that I've read. But I mean, it's fun to watch him. And it's like, that's another one of those guys I don't want to see in another uniform. Like, I mean, what uniform can you imagine seeing him in? And if the Broncos were to do it?
Again.
Really?
Again?
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't imagine Tom Brady in another uniform, and I feel like it was a seamless transition.
That's true.
Seamless, but also winning.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And in a lot of ways, like, Florida fits him. Sorry. Florida really fits him.
No. Yeah. Don't say sorry.
Does it not seem like it's, like, almost natural? Like, it almost started a whole new Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not mad.
Tom Brady throwing the Lombardi Trophy into the ocean. Or into whatever it is.
He's way more fun in Tampa.
More fun. Sure. Yeah,
we don't see nearly as many pictures of Giselle in a bikini as I thought we would.
Yeah.
Not saying I want them. Just saying because she is a supermodel and now she's in Florida, I just assumed we would see a lot of that.
I'm not looking for that kind of stuff, Lauren. Come on. What do you think I am?
We did get drunk Tom Brady getting escorted back from the parade. So that was fun.
That kind of showed us, though, like how disciplined he is.
Mm-hmm. Like got, two drinks.
Yeah, you got that drunk that quick? Like, come on, man.
Must be nice.
What are you guys talking about tonight?
Yeah, what do y'all got?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, please don't ask us that this whole week because we really
we won't.
We don't know until the music comes on. Okay. And then whatever comes out, comes out.
Well, then we look forward to it.
There we go.
You guys have fun tonight.
All right.
That's the Sports Den. Make sure you stay tuned. It is alumni week. So Helmets and Heels will be back again tomorrow night following Best Bet. So we will be live for you 7 to 9. And then the Sports Den will then again follow us for RJ Saunders. We thank Amanda Borges DeVore. We thank Emily Tillo for joining us. For Taylor Dahl, for Lauren Brooks, I am Donna Murphy. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.